Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:14 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 1st. Well, we had a PMI figure coming out today, which was modestly in negative territory. What I found particularly interesting was how it was reported around the world. If we see on the chart, it was down from 52 to about 51.7. This is hardly a dynamic move. It does confirm, however, that there is still a contraction going on in terms of the appetite for manufacturing activity, and indeed new orders was also contracting here. But PMI figures globally are, in fact, in negative territory. However, there is in France, for example, where PMI figures are accelerating higher again. So there is, I think, a legitimate argument to be made that we are at the trough in terms of global growth. But that is not how it was reported in stock markets today. In fact, following a pop on the upside and a move to new all-time highs by the S&P 500, the balance of the day was for the vast majority of the day to be spent in negative territory. It's only really in the last hour of trading that we've had a modest retracement of the decline from early on today. I think that some perspective needs to be put to be brought to the market here. We've had a very impressive rebound all the way through June, and that's still pretty much underway, but there is room for some consolidation, not least because we've had an impressive rebound from the region of the trend mean. There is a short-term overbought condition. But the much bigger picture is that we are moving towards additional monetary and potentially fiscal stimulus. The Federal Reserve is going to cut rates this month. If they don't do that, well, then the market is going to have conniptions, that we're going to have a significant pullback if they do not cut interest rates, having already telegraphed that that's going to be the case. Then the ECB looks intent to move into negative interest rate territory. And that is potentially also going to be a very significant factor in terms of the provision of liquidity. It would be hard to imagine that the Bank of Japan is going to do anything other than accelerate its provision of liquidity if it gets this kind of competitive devaluation type of scenario arising from the USA and the Eurozone. The yen was in weak territory today, and so was the euro. The euro pulled back by almost a full cent in here today. And that does now suggest that we're going to come back and test the 112 area at a minimum. But it also confirms resistance in the region of the trend mean. Nobody wants a strong currency in this environment. One of the stronger currencies in here today was the renminbi, but even there, it did not quite hold all of its advance and retraced about half of it. Again, China doesn't want to have a strong currency. The USA doesn't. The euro doesn't. The Bank of England doesn't want a strong currency, and neither does Japan. That is a common factor. There's just nobody wants one. Now the bigger question is, who needs a stronger currency more than everybody else? Well, the USA doesn't need it, but they're certainly removing supports from the dollar. Then when we think about this provision of liquidity, well, we do have a short-term overbought condition, so there is scope for some consolidation. But the much bigger picture is that what we're starting to see now is that central banks globally are, and I think this is a global phenomenon rather than simply a phenomenon for the Federal Reserve, they are responding to signs of slowing growth rather than being data dependent. The one thing that the Federal Reserve has been saying for at least the last 5 or 6 years is that they were going to be data dependent. But realistically, what they are now doing is they're responding to what they think data is going to be. They're anticipating the data points. And that's a very important transition. That tells us that they are more concerned with preserving the economic expansion than they are about inflation or about the potential for asset price inflation or capital misallocation or malinvestment. So that's something that is, I think, more important than just about anything else. It very much brings to the fore the real possibility that we are at the dawn of the last stage of the third psychological perception stage of a bull market, which is the mania. I think it has been likely since the dawn of the quantitative easing era that this was going to end in a mania, and I think that that is now increasingly likely. Well, when we think about, for example, the NASDAQ 100, it has also bounced from the region of the trend mean. It hasn't quite been able to break out to new recovery highs yet, but it was up over 1% in here today, and it was able to recoup some of its decline as well towards the last hour of trading. Then, when we think about the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, that is also another example of a share, or excuse me, of an index that had opened higher today and gapped higher. And so far, it's held on to the gap. But the most important thing it's done is bounce from the region of the upper side of that underlying trading range. And I think that is by far the most important phenomenon. Then there is the potential here that with all the other data points that came out over the weekend, these are the reasons why we had a big pop on the upside. President Trump has got a decision to make. It's a rather simple, and it's going to, I guess, come right down to the question of how badly he wants to get re-elected, which I suspect is the only thing that is really front and center in his mind. Well, and that is, I guess, the same thing that motivates every politician. But how much of his base are going to be animated by the continued escalation of the trade war versus those that are affected negatively by it? And when the metric goes from one to the other, that's when we're likely to get a significant change. Well, we are about a year and a half, although probably a bit less than that, from the election now. It is time to start electioneering in earnest. And finding some way for China to start importing agricultural goods from the USA again is a major step on that front. And if that has been, or I guess if the price for that would be to continue to sell components to Huawei, well, then I guess so be it. The potential that, I guess, the best way to describe what's been happening over the weekend as well would probably be to say that what happened in between South Korea and North Korea, and stepping over the demarcation line between the two, is Instagram diplomacy. It creates a wonderful photo op that can be used in marketing and electioneering over the next year. And if nothing occurs from it, well, it's still a substantial milestone. I guess that's also what people are looking at in terms of the stock market, that we're getting these sound bites, but we don't have some substantive evidence that there is a real change. But of course, that also further bolsters the case for continued monetary and fiscal accommodation. So I think those are some of the more important points here. Now, when we look at the Euro Stoxx index, it was also in positive territory, but it paired the advance in the latter half of the session. Then I think what's also worth highlighting here is that the A-share index in China has been anticipating a thawing of relations over the course of the last few weeks, and it was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. Now, that will potentially be paired in here tomorrow, but the most important thing it's done is demonstrate support in the region of the trend mean. Bull markets in China tend to be state-sponsored, and this is no exception. It is certainly in the interests of a face-saving and exercise, and also an attempt to show a strong front to the global economy that China is going to continue on its fiscal stimulus and also its efforts to both support the stock market and the listed banking sector. And the banks have also demonstrated support in the region of the trend mean, at least the mega cap state-owned banks have. Then when we think about how India is doing, well, it is also right in the region of its previous peaks. It still has something of an overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but this continues to look like a bull market environment. There was news today about the quantity of money that's been embezzled by the previous administration in Malaysia, and it's something in the order of a hundred, I can't remember if it was million or billion, ringgit. So that has obviously weighed on this market over the last 5 years. It was the deterioration in governance and the weakness of the ringgit over the same time period. But what we are now starting to see is that the KLCI is back in the region of the trend mean. It is pressuring the progression of lower rally highs over the course of the last 18 months. And the Indonesian market is now back above the trend mean. If we are now getting a period of time where we're going to start to see monetary and fiscal largesse starting to become a much more significant factor, then that should be beneficial for the emerging markets, and we are starting to see them turn around. So it isn't simply that it's a theory, but we're starting to see evidence coming through that a return to demand dominance is in the offing for an increasing number of these ASEAN markets. Then, when we think about what's going on in Brazil, well, it continues to trend higher in a consistent manner. And this is still a very consistent uptrend. Then, of course, because we had some strength coming through in the dollar in here today, well, then that has represented an area of resistance in the region of the trend mean for a significant number of the currencies, and not least those in the commodity producers and the emerging markets. But I'd rather think that there is still potential here that the dollar is close to its peak because the Federal Reserve and is very clearly removing supports from the dollar. Nonetheless, when we look at the dollar index, it is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. Now the big question is how much of a rally is it likely to get, and will it be able to sustain a move back above this peak, this lower rally high that we had in the middle of June, which was around the 97 and three quarter level. The clearest evidence that we would have that the dollar's rally and a choppy advance has indeed ended would be a sustained move below the trend mean. Of course, that is having an impact on gold, and the price was down by $26 in here today and is closing out the day on the lows of the day. We've had a storming rally in June, and a short-term overbought condition is evident. Some consolidation of the gain is now underway. Now the big question is, how well is gold going to hold this $1,350 area? The defining characteristic of the base formation has been that every single time it pushed above the 1,350 area, it failed. Well, now we're in a period of consolidation. If the bull market has further to go now, then it is going to sustain the upward break. That could potentially form a first step above the base, but at the very minimum, it's going to have to hold the region of the trend mean. By the time it gets down to it, it's probably going to be north of the $1,300 level where the trend mean is closing out today. One thing we know about trading commodities is that they generally tend to be volatile, and that paying up for commodities is seldom a good idea. Generally, they're best bought following reactions. Well, this is definitely a reaction, so it is holding out the prospect that we are going to get a better opportunity to initiate long positions. When we look at the very impressive rally that's been put in terms of the gold miners, well, they rallied almost 30% in June. And now it is looking really quite likely that we're going to get some consolidation, and that consolidation could last for a few months. We are in a less favorable time seasonally for gold prices. They generally tend to do better in around the same portion of the year that stocks do better, which is usually from about September through to April. So we could be in for a couple of months of consolidation. Then, when we think about what's happening in terms of Bitcoin, well, it had rallied spectacularly in June as well. Now it is coming back to test this psychological 10,000 level. I think it is really quite important to monitor these charts of cryptocurrencies in logarithmic scales. That's not always easy, and Bloomberg has only got a very small number of charts that it reports prices for, but we can definitely see that the size of the reactions in terms of percentages, it has been reasonably consistent. This is a somewhat larger pullback, but as long as we still have this staircase step sequence uptrend, and most particularly if it can hold the 10,000 level, well then this will still be a bull market environment. Then when we think about what's going on in terms of the bond markets, well, the 10-year Treasury yield was in positive territory in here today, but not in an especially dynamic manner. And if we just flip it around and look at the price, we can definitely see that there's been a loss of momentum, and there is a somewhat overbought condition relative to the trend mean. So there is room for some consolidation here, particularly in view of the fact that it is so very overbought, and that previously we've had pullbacks in the order of about 2.5 points. So we are at a point now where a pause and potentially a 2.5 point pullback would not be all that surprising. That could potentially coincide with some consolidation happening on Wall Street. But the reality is that there is a real possibility of additional support for bond markets from lower interest rates, potentially even from QE4, or the cancelling of well, I guess one of the things that has supported the bond markets has been the reduction in the size of the balance sheet because of the fact that the Fed has demonstrated some confidence that the bond market could survive without it. But if they do start buying again, that would be a very clear support again for markets, that they would be hoovering up additional supplies of bonds. And this strength we've had in bonds is also happening at a time where there is a record amount of issuance. So it is also demonstrative of the fact that people are really quite worried about the potential for a recession. What I also found interesting in here today was that the yield curve has been contracting, and there has been a loss of momentum in terms of the rebound that's been underway now for the last while. When people have been really worried about the yield curve, one of the points I've seen made, which does see, appear to make more sense, is that when you do get an inverted yield curve, that you get inversions right across the board in terms of the bond market. So you would expect that the investment grade, the junk bond curve, the muni curve, and the treasury curve would become inverted, and that we're just nowhere near that. In fact, when we think about the performance of high yield bonds, they've had an equally impressive rally compared with stocks, and they are due some consolidation in here, but it could have pulled back by much more than it did today. And I do think that we're just we're going to get some consolidation and some unwinding of this overbought condition. But the much more important point is that economic statistics have not deteriorated to such an extent that a massive infusion of additional liquidity can't mend them. The timing of that infusion is going to be the key arbiter here. And one of the most important points, I think, now is that having had the big pullback and the impressive rebound and support coming through in the region of the trend mean, then we have important touchstones in terms of this bull market. When we go back and then think about what's going on in terms of the S&P 500, well, if this is a consolidation, then we're going to hold in the region of the upper side. If this is a top, well, then it's going to fail, and then it's going to subsequently encounter resistance in the region of the trend mean. If we start to see indices encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean, well, then we would have clear confirmation of a change of trend. But we just have not seen that so far, and until we do, then I think we can give the benefit of the doubt that what we're seeing is some consolidation, and that the most or the path of least resistance is towards additional upside, and there's a real possibility that we're going to get bubbly activity. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.